Scripture for today comes from Matthew 10, 29 through 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, and even the hairs of your head are all counted, so do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Second reading is Proverbs 16, 9. People plan their path, but the Lord secures their steps. This word of God for the people of God.
You may be seated. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Grace, and I've been at Forest Hill for 4 years. Last summer, I got to experience the power of the Holy Spirit at POCO, and that's one of our youth mission trips. For those of you who don't know what POCO is, it's a camp for rising 9th through 12th graders in the Poconos Mountains. POCO is a camp based on spiritual growth with some fun thrown in. While we were there, a message was shared about things teens struggle with in everyday life. These things included questions like, am I loved? Am I pretty enough? Am I good enough? And why am I even living? These four questions are most common upon teens, and many teens struggle every day with these questions. When I got home from camp, I sat down with Rebecca, and we decided that we needed to share what we learned with our own youth group so that they would know how to deal with these questions. Today, I would like to give you some insight on how teens struggle and deal with these questions. Our scripture today talks about how we are valuable in God's eyes. Matthew 10, 29 through 31 says, aren't two sparrows sold for a small coin, but not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father knowing about it already. Even the hairs on your head are all counted. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Verse 30 says, even the hairs on your head are all counted. Just think about that for a second. Crazy, right? God knows every single thing about each and every one of us, and he knows we are all special in our own ways. Prior to this verse, Jesus is sending the disciples out to preach to the Israelites. He is warning them that they may be persecuted, but not to worry. They will always be valuable to God, even when they do not feel valuable to others. If God didn't love each and every one of us, he wouldn't spend time knowing how many hairs are on our heads and spend time building relationships with us. Now let's talk about love for a minute. Love is a word that we use very freely. I love coffee, I love French fries, I love this TV show. But if we take a moment to stop and consider the word God's love, all the other loves really do fall short when we consider God's great love for us. This is a love that can never separate us from God. In Romans 8, 35 through 39, Paul says, who will separate us from Christ's love? We will be separated by trouble or distress or harassment or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. As it is written, we are being put to death all day long for your sake. We are treated like sheep for slaughter. But in all these things, we will win a sweeping victory through the one who loved us. I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not death or life, not angels or rulers, not present things or future things, not powers or height or depth, or any other thing that is created. Take a second to stop and think about what Paul said. Not death nor life, not angels nor rulers, not present things or future things, not powers or height or depth or any other thing that's created. God loves you unconditionally and you can never be separated from this love. This love is limitless. It can never be changed, affected, or taken away. You can't alter this love by doing good or bad things. Fill in the blanks of these next three questions. But what if I did this? But what if I said this? What if I anything? The world tells us that certain answers in those blanks make us not valuable and unloved. But I am here to tell you, no matter what you put in those blanks, God will love you when the world knocks you down. When the world knocks us down and tells us that we are not valuable and not loved, this comes across many times in the sense that we are not beautiful or handsome. In today's society, with how easy it is to access social media, many times we find ourselves constantly comparing our lives and physical features to others. We see advertisements of models who give off the message that everyone must be skinny and have perfect physical features to be loved and liked by the world. Many teens struggle with how to deal with this pressure from our world of not feeling good enough.
Being a student in high school in today's day, and with all the social media surrounding us, makes it really easy to get caught up in comparing ourselves to others. Sometimes doing something so simple as scrolling through your Instagram feed in the morning makes you think, why don't they want me? Why don't I seem to fit in anywhere? And ultimately, am I good enough? It's questions like these that make people question themselves, question their worth as a person, and their lives. I don't know about you, but it's definitely made me feel like that, like I was unwanted and a stranger to everyone. It's even made me sad and not wanting to go back to school because I was tired of feeling of not being wanted or even ignored. During this unit at Youth, I've learned a lot, not just about my faith, but about myself. I came to Youth as someone who didn't know his place in the world and who sometimes felt like maybe I didn't have one. Now, I regularly go to explore my faith and to learn about myself and my place in the world. Now I know that I do have a place, one in God's world, and now I know that I am indeed good enough. We all are, even if you think you aren't. I've also learned that it's okay to struggle and ask questions. Sometimes we ask big questions, like, do I have a purpose? Am I a part of God's plan?
When we're stuck feeling like we're not good enough, we often feel like we have no purpose. Have you ever wondered what your purpose in life is? Have you ever wondered why exactly you were put on this earth, or what exactly you were supposed to do with the time that you have here? These are some really big questions that have the ability to make you feel really small and scared, and they can drive you absolutely crazy until you think that you can find the answer to them. Well, I'm going to go ahead and let you in on a little secret. Are you ready? You can't answer them. Those questions that seem so big and important, you can't answer them. Well, not on your own, anyway. Why do you think that is? Here's a question for you. If you didn't create yourself, how can you possibly know what you were created for? If you want to know what the purpose of something is, you should ask the Creator. God knit you together at the very beginning of your life, before you even knew that you existed. So don't you think that He knows what He made you for? 2 Timothy 1:9 says, He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. God's purpose for you is not about you. It's about Him. This verse says that we've been saved and called to a holy life because of Jesus, not because of us. Because of God's purpose, not because of ours. And then it says something really cool. It says that the grace of Jesus was given to us before the beginning of time. Not before the beginning of your life, but before the beginning of time. So let me ask you this. If God is going to save you and call you because of His purpose and grace, and He gave you that grace before the beginning of time, don't you think it's safe to say that He's always had a plan and a purpose? If He's going to go through all of the trouble of giving you grace way before you're even around, and then calling you and saving you, I don't think there's any way that you don't have a purpose. You do have a purpose, and it's His purpose. It can be scary to think about committing to following God's purpose. We're crazy sometimes and get this idea in our head that God's purpose might not be what we want. We get sad about maybe having to give up our own purpose. But here's the deal. What in your life, in your plans, is so amazing that you could possibly think that it's better than God's purpose for you? You may have heard the verse, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." God knows our purpose before He created us, and He knows what we'll be best at. If it were left up to us, we'd probably end up trying to do something that we were never meant to do. God works in you to fulfill a purpose. See, it's not your purpose, it's His. And it's a pretty good one. But it's not a forced purpose. Sure, God has a purpose for you, but God is not going to force you to live according to His purpose. It's a choice that you're going to have to make for yourself. Psalm 33:11, "But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of His heart through all generations." Isn't that beautiful to think about? God's plans and purposes will stand firm forever. That's pretty amazing. So in case you're still having doubts about whether or not these plans and purposes are better than your own, let's put it into perspective. All right, so have you ever bought someone a really great gift? You picked it out just for them because you knew them so well. You hid it, you wrapped it, and you counted down the days until you could give it to them. Well, that's kind of how I imagine God feels about your purpose. He knows you better than anyone else ever will, and he knows that you're supposed to fit into his plan. And he has this incredible purpose for you that he created. He's just excitingly waiting for you to say yes. So say yes. Ask him about his purpose for your life. It's not complicated. Just pray and ask him to lead you in the right direction.
We know that we are loved by God and made in his image, but what does that really mean for us? It means that, just like Rebecca said, he has a purpose for us. But how do we find it? The only thing that we have to do is trust in him. We know that our God loves us more than we can ever imagine, and he would never lead us astray. You are valuable to God, so trust the plans that he has for you. This doesn't mean that we won't face challenges. The world always finds another curveball to throw at us, making us feel like we aren't good enough or someone else is better. But with God on our side, none of that matters. God loves to challenge us, and it's for our own benefit. I've always heard the phrase, God won't put something in our lives that we can't handle. And I think this speaks a lot of truth to the way that we can become part of God's plan. He not only wants us to share his word, but to learn to love and relate to others so that we can better act as his messengers in this world. Even though in the first verse read today, God tells us we are worth more than the sparrow, he still expects us to sing just as loudly, glorifying his name and the great things that he has done for us. Being part of God's plan isn't something that we choose to do because we want to. It's the one thing we do because we can't live without it. So if you're sitting here this morning wondering, what is God's plan for me? Talk to him. He is the only one who knows everything about you and has had the plan set for your life out before you were even a thought in this world. God loves you more than you can ever understand, and that's one of the most comforting things about our relationship with him. God has big plans for all of us, and it's up to us to work towards them because he's given us everything. You're worth everything in the world to God, so feel secure in trusting his plans and purpose for you. If you'll bow your heads and pray. Dear Lord, thank you for showing us that we do have a purpose, and we're loved, and we're good enough. Just be with us as we go out into the world, and help us to find this purpose and to trust in you always. Amen.